better than one, as it often takes both our sets of brain power to actually remember the fact that we're trying to remember. It's very easy, isn't it, to forget things. And this morning we needed three heads because neither John or I had thought about that it was probably not a good idea to park my car here if I need to go to Alton afterwards, and it needed Andy's brain then to assist and remind me to move the car. In the day-to-day stress of life, it's very easy to forget things. And for some of the youngsters that have gone out for their groups, their memories are still developing, and we help them to develop their memory skills through games, things like concentration. Some of you may remember playing those. This morning, we're part of a really important event, a baptism. And can I add my welcome to Sebastian's family and friends? It's lovely to see you here. And I suppose this occasion is one where we might be doing what you call making a memory. That's often alluded to nowadays. And I'm sure you as a family will want to remember this occasion and be part of this family story. And I imagine already many photographs have been taken on digital cameras, on phones, perhaps to be stored on a computer, or perhaps the photos might be printed out and put into an album. I've got an album here. Helps us remember, doesn't it, the stories of our families and our life. This one is the Yorkshire Dales in June 2005, you know. Okay, we, as a family, we make an album every holiday time, and our children love looking back at them, and of course it gives us an opportunity to bore other people with our events, but it feels like an important part of our family history that the story gets told and passed on. And today is a particular day for remembering. As you all know and has already been said, it's Remembrance Sunday, where we as a nation can remember some very significant events in our collective history. As a family, a community, and a nation, we need to remember what took place in the Great War and wars following. It's important to us and who we are. And of course, we have that famous symbol, which many of you are wearing, the poppy, don't we? It's very familiar, and everybody knows what it stands for. The processions, the wreaths, the services, they all help us reflect on this history that we might learn from it. And that slogan, lest we forget, tells us how significant this is to us. And many of you might be going along to the service at the Cenotaph after this one and have personal links, perhaps, to the act of remembrance. Our second reading today from Matthew, which Louise read to us, is the story of another significant event in our Christian history. The story of the Last Supper is very important in our understanding of who Jesus is and the events in his earthly life. Jesus tells his disciples how important it is to remember him, his death, and of course his resurrection. And we tell this story on many Sundays because it's so important. So as the priest takes hold of some, let me get it out of here, some bread, he uses the words that Jesus said, "This is my body given for you," and the chalice, it's a small cup, the chalice, the words are said, "This is my blood which is shed for you." And we're able to be reminded of this sacrifice that Jesus made for us, for you and for me. It's so important to tell that story, and it's been handed down through many generations for over 2,000 years. Of course, we have another very important symbol as well, the symbol of the cross that reminds us of what Jesus did for us, taking our sin that we might be saved. I don't like prop that one up. Probably have to light that. And of course, at this time of year, we're now in November, and that word has been mentioned already this morning by Paul, the one that we don't need reminding of, how many days there are until Christmas, of course. But that festival itself helps us to remember how Jesus, God himself, became flesh and lived on earth. He came to live among us, was born as a vulnerable baby in a poor place to a humble family. The King of Kings was born in a manger. I just have to go and fetch this one. A very familiar scene. Our nativity scene. And it reminds us of all the characters in this wonderful story. And we all enjoy every year hearing about them again as we marvel and delight in this story of love and hope. The characters, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, will help us to understand more about God's rescue plan for his world and people. Our Advent windows in stone this year are focused on all the Christmas cast, the characters. So we hope that many people in stone will get to know this story more. Talking of babies being born, back to our baptism family today. Another reminder of baptism and what it means is often what is given is a christening candle. This one's still in its box. This is the one given to our youngest daughter, Sophie, at her christening. The candle, of course, is a symbol of light and reminds us that Jesus is the light of the world. And baptism brings us into membership of God's family. A huge family, a worldwide family, where we share the same story and where we are loved by an abundant and generous God. But sometimes we use our memories to remember less helpful things. Sometimes you may have noticed that we have memories like elephants for things that are not so helpful, and memories like goldfish for the most important things. The Jews, the Israelites in the Old Testament, had an amazing history and story. They'd been chosen by God as a special people with a special mission. God had bailed them out and rescued them on many occasions. And they indeed had many festivals and events to remind them of God's goodness and what he had done for them. But unfortunately, they, just like us, sometimes had short memories and forgot who they were and what their purpose was. In fact, they often got bogged down in trying to remember the wrong things. They loved their book of rules. I've got another book of rules here, one you may be familiar with. The one that any driver here is supposed to know inside out, the highway code. Of course, their book of rules, which was the Torah, they developed and extended it and extended it and nurtured it until they were probably exhausted in trying to ensure they kept to all the little rules. Some of them, the Pharisees in particular we know about, were very proud of their knowledge of the rules and how well they kept to them. They thought that God would be pleased and proud of them for doing so well. Now, of course, don't get me wrong, because a book of rules is very useful, particularly the highway code. And if any of you here has ever had to go on a speed awareness course, you will have been reminded, perhaps, that your driving can at times be found wanting. But sometimes the rules can get in the way and become too much of a driving, excuse the pun, force in our lives. If we think we can get close to God by being good according to the rules all of the time, set on the details with rigid black and white thinking, then we are most likely on the wrong track. God loves us, and he wants relationship with us, not us to try and be God, to be superior, to be the best. We are reminded in our reading just now from Romans 9 and 10, that the most important thing is to believe in and come to the Messiah, to Jesus, and that we can all be part of this family. The promises, the covenant has been given to us all. That through Jesus we can come to God. It is faith, not rules, that draws us close. It is Jesus alone that has put things right, who has brought us into right relationship with God. It's not through our own strength of scoring how many tiny rules we can keep on the right side of judging how well we do in relation to others. But it's coming to Jesus in our brokenness, our imperfection, our sinning ways. Coming to Jesus who died for us, who took our sin for us. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And as it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, the same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So we have to remember, not just with our heads, but believe. In our hearts. To confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart, with our whole heart, that God raised him from the dead for us, then you will be saved. So I guess the question is, does your heart love the Lord Jesus? Then good news indeed. Spread it far and wide, that you will be saved. Amen.